Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
All right, The Drive is live. Have you heard Clint? Has you heard Tyler back there as well? Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, we appreciate you checking us out, and however you're taking us in. A lot to get to, a packed show. You'll be coming up in the next segment. We plan to let you hear from the head coach. As it is midweek, we've turned the page from the Bears and now to the Minnesota Vikings. On the road, Tyler will be there. Remember the last time Tyler went on the road?
It wasn't good.
To Carolina. The best game I believe Bryce played.
Now he's benched.
Yeah, now he's benched. Thanks, Dave. But turn the page, Minnesota Vikings. We will hear from D'Amico hopefully in the next segment. And in the 3 o'clock hour, you will plan to hear from the quarterback, C.J. Stroud. He's got more advice to give. We'll hear from C.J. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour as well. Tony Gwynn Jr., he was out there. Calling the Padres-Astros game, and you know he's our guy. He'll join us. Yeah, I don't know. He may be in pickup line, but he'll join us coming up in at the bottom of the hour as well. You know it's Wednesday. Our guy Brandon Scott, a little Texans report coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. I do want to pass this news, and we can react to this quickly before we get to Shoeless Jose. Brevin Jordan placed on the IR for the Texans, so he will miss at least 4 weeks, Clint. Also, we're getting word from practice that today's practice, there was no Joe Mixon, who was day-to-day with that ankle injury. Damian Pierce, who missed the last game with a hamstring issue, there is also, he was also out of practice today. Juice Scruggs, who missed the last game, although the thought and signs are that he'll be ready to go. On Sunday, he did miss practice, and his backup, Jarrett Patterson, which kind of makes the Quisenberry news and sign to the practice squad make more sense. He did not practice either. So those are some big, your top two running backs, according to the rotation. Top two running backs didn't practice. Your top two centers did not practice today on Wednesday. So that's the latest. Brevin Jordan's going to miss at least 4 weeks, and then Joe Mixon is the big one. Joe and Juice Scruggs is the big one to watch.
Yeah, look, I think that explained the Brevin Jordan news. Explains the Irv Smith Jr. Yep. Workout yesterday. Not sure. I haven't seen the latest on that, if they signed him or not. But as I mentioned when you brought the name up, he is a guy that's in the mold of Brevin Jordan, a little bit more of a kind of a slash, kind of a weapon, an H-back more than a true inline hand in the dirt, even though Brevin Jordan had been doing a really good job taking over some of those duties and had become a little bit more physical in the run game. The point is Irv is a little bit more cut from the cloth of Brevin Jordan.
Yeah, you said so that yesterday. Yeah.
This makes perfect sense there. I'll be honest with you. I'm a little more concerned about Damian Pierce's strained hamstring than I am Joe Mixon's ankle.
Really?
Yeah. An ankle, it is what it is. I mean, he's going to have to be able to – he's going to be able to go. Unless it's a high ankle sprain or there's something, yeah, some kind of fracture or something, you know, cross your fingers. But if it's just an ankle sprain and he's not practicing, makes sense. All the ligaments and support around that ankle are weak after you roll it like that. The worst thing you can do is go out there and within 2 or 3 days roll that thing over again. It'll actually hurt less, but it stretches everything back out again. So the best thing they can do for Joe Mixon is to get that thing back strong again. And then roll the dice on game day if he can keep that thing from rolling over again. So hopefully Joe's ankle doesn't become an all-year-long thing where he's constantly rolling it over and that ankle gets loose and it's a problem all year long. But when you talk about these guys that are wired so tightly, the hamstring is scary, especially when it's a running back who is burst, explosion, twitch. I mean, just strain. Like, a hamstring is one that always scares me. You strain that thing, it can definitely stick around for 6 weeks. You mess around and pull it, I mean, it can stick around for 4 months. I mean, you don't ever know. So
hamstrings, calves, yeah.
The hamstring like thing, Harris, yeah. The hamstring thing with Damian Pierce scares me a little more than that ankle. I think the ankle's going to be fine, but and with Juice Scruggs, I feel like again, unless there was some other injury along the way as he was trying to see if he could go last week in pregame, whatever they did, assuming it didn't injure it, it was just a sign that he couldn't go. I would imagine that this week he would be all in.
Yeah, we'll see. Tomorrow will be we'll be out at Buffalo Wild Wings in Tomball. Tomorrow will be a big, big moment because if these guys don't practice again tomorrow, then that's a real red flag potentially for them not playing. As we saw last week, Juice Scruggs didn't practice on Wednesday and Thursday and didn't play. So that's a big sign to look forward to there. We'll keep you updated on that. But last night, this was one of the more interesting moments of the Houston Astros season. This was just a bad call. A bad call and then a bad operation of not getting help from anybody.
One of many bad calls.
Yes, it was a hell of a game by this crew. I think the crew chose Brian Onora. Don't know why, but I know that. But they had a rough night, but this may have been this wasn't the roughest. The pro far hit by pitch that they went and looked at video for and still missed. That was by far the worst because they got help. But this was interesting to say the least. Altuve fouled a ball off clearly off his foot. They called it fair. He was out in the eighth inning. I think it was the eighth inning. Or was it the ninth? Eighth or ninth inning? Late one of those.
It was the ninth.
Ninth inning. Yeah. Oh, that's right. The eighth inning was Diaz in that swing. Oh, yeah. But the ninth inning, he fouls it off his foot, but they call it fair, and he is out to end the inning. Here is how everything sounded after that.
Hits Altuve's foot. They're going to say fair ball. Brendan Miller is going to say that ball didn't hit Altuve, and that's going to be the final out of the inning. Brendan Miller is not ingratiating himself to Astros players, coaches, or manager.
You got to ask for help.
You got to check with other umpires to see if it did hit Altuve.
Altuve needs to be pulled out of the situation. They need to keep him in this game.
Altuve showing where it hit his foot, and now he's ejected.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
You're right, though. They should have got Altuve out of there. He's been ejected. We're going to have a tie game heading to the bottom of the ninth. Altuve will limp off the field. This game is crazy.
Hey, TK, it's going to get crazier. I got to be honest with you. Like, obviously, team-wise, and I think that's where Todd Callis was. You can't get thrown out of this game right now because they had to bring in Kessinger. But, hey, that was like my spirit animal right there, Clint. I'm telling you, if you're going to get ejected, have some fun with it.
The showman.
I mean, do if you're going to get ejected, get your money's worth. Like, who is it? We were talking about it before. Maybe, you know, this ain't the greatest time to be doing it, but that old minor league manager in the Braves organization,
yes,
that gave us 15 minutes where he crawled and did the army crawl to the mound and grabbed the rosin bag and threw
grenade.
It like it was a grenade towards the umpire.
He had a big old gut, too. That was awesome.
Hell no. This hit my foot. And let me tell you, I'm going to take this New Balance shoe off. And you're going to see this sock. You're going to see this sock, and I'm going to take this orange sock off. And you're going to look at my dip. Look at this spot. Look at this red spot on my foot. Look at it. Listen, when you take your socks and shoes off to show up the umpire in front of everybody, you're getting tossed. You know it. You know it as soon as you go and grab that shoe. But I'm telling you, I've told you many a times, I would go in, if I were a head coach with horrible calls, I would go and sit down in the middle of the 50 and we're not moving. And we're not moving. Or I'd sit down where the ball is and we're not moving until we get this rectified. That's right. And I love this. He said, no, hell no. You want to do this? I'm taking my socks and shoe off for your ass. I enjoyed that from you. I didn't know Jose had it in him, but I enjoyed that for him. He said, what do you think? What do you think it hit him where he said, I'm taking this damn shoe off and I'm going to show your ass this. I mean,
I think the second he realized this was really going to the damn bottom of the ninth with a call like that, he was like, I'm losing this thing. This sock and shoe is coming off right now.
It seems like it's one of those that's so blatantly obvious and so easy to get right that it's almost out of like disbelief that this guy's really doing this. This guy's going to end this inning like this. That ball bounced off my foot. Let me match his level of petty and silliness and let me pull this shoe and sock off and show you exactly where it hit. To me, in pro sports, the fact that that can happen, take the removal of the sock and shoe out of them. The fact that can happen, literally a guy can hit a ball that hits his foot or his leg and it goes into fair territory. To not be able to do whatever you got to do, whether it's require him to ask for help, require help from the replay, whatever you got to do to review that and get that right, you can't let an inning end with that kind of play.
And listen,
it's silly.
Clearly, to the point that you're making of all of the things in place that would even allow that to happen. Clearly, the guy who is the third base ump down the third baseline, he clearly would have to see that hit him in his foot. I could see how Miller behind the plate may not be able to catch it, what he's looking at, but clearly the third base ump knew it. But the only way that the third base ump can tell him is if he asks for help.
He's asked, yeah.
And that's the only. But instead, you won't like we see this in basketball. We'll see an official on the other side of the floor who clearly has the better angle and can see the ball went off on such and such, and we'll run down and say, and they'll talk it over and do it. But not like, hey man, I just got to stay down here, even though I know the call. I know the call, but he's got to ask me, and because he's being a hard ass and he won't ask me, then we just gonna stay here and sit this and have this wrong.
That entire umpiring crew should be embarrassed, dude. I know we're talking about this specific play. That was egregious umpiring the entire game.
The whole thing was egregious.
Well, I think they should lose their ability to all of them to umpire in the postseason this year. I ain't gonna call anybody's job. Some of those, like those guys, have been around a while. Like Brian Onora is normally a really good umpire. Miller too is normally a really good umpire. But it was so egregious in this game, and the guys in New York too, because y'all asses are the ones who watched that replay and came to the conclusion that he did get hit.
Like you said, like the fact that a third base umpire can't walk in without being summoned,
but yeah,
can't walk in and go, "Hey, bro, that hit his foot, man. Let's get this right."
He's got to stand down.
So
there.
Now you got an ego behind the plate that won't ask for help, and that's the holdup here. Like the fact that's in Major League Baseball is any major league sport, any big league sport, professional sport, but that's silly.
Like you know, there's got to be times during the season where a first base ump or a third base ump down the line say to himself, "Ooh, he went." And maybe nobody asked him.
I got a great view of that.
He went. I could do it. Is calling him to an act. It is silly. No, but that was horrible last night. Like the Astros, they got screwed when they got helped. Like the Machado at bat. That.
Yeah.
It was 3-0, and Hunter threw that ball. I mean, and it's the worst because they got the box up there. He threw that thing way off the box. I mean, that was a ball. He had undone. I mean, Manny had undone his gloves and threw his bat, and that man called it back up. And the next one was at least borderline, but it may have been a ball too. And then what happened? Because he didn't walk him, he hit a 2-run bomb out to tie the game, which screwed him. Yeah,
that was really a defining moment for Hunter Brown, for me, that the one you're specifically speaking of.
He jumped so high when that ball was hit.
Because Hunter had shown so much emotion earlier in the game, striking folks out and running to the dugout.
He was going off on it looked like he was going off on Brickman one time on the way in the dugout.
Hunter?
Yeah, but he was just amped.
He was amped.
Yeah.
But the fact that a hitter like Machado saw it and responded after he hit a bomb. Did you see he hit the bomb? They showed the replay from behind the pitcher. He hits the bomb and he stands there and watches.
Oh, yeah, he gave it. Yeah,
and he clearly looks down and stares at Hunter like, "Yeah, I got you. Settle down, young."
Well, he really wanted to turn and look at the home plate up, but he knew he'd get thrown out. I heard our guest Tony Gwynn, who's going to be joining us here a little bit later on this hour. He said, "Whatever Miller did in whatever anger that Miller had, in that at bat, he took that all out on Hunter Brown on that play." So, yeah, it was a wild one. last night. I heard Blum, as they got that win, I just want to see how we feel about this nickname here. I heard Blum coming into the game as Hunter entered and got on the mound in the bottom of the first, and he said, "The Diesel, Hunter Brown, is going to attack this lineup tonight."
The Diesel.
How you feel about Hunter Brown? The Diesel. I had heard that. Maybe he has been saying that before. Maybe I've missed it or ignored it. I hadn't heard. I don't know if he was trying it out.
We're big on nicknames on the drive.
Hate it.
I kind of like it,
but it reminds me of Shaquille.
He's already got a great nickname. Big Game Hunter Brown. Big Game is his nickname. It works too well with his first name.
I love it.
It has another meaning.
If it's his been name in was place, Hunt.
It's been, no, a Big Game Hunter only hunts Big Game. The play on that phrase, it's too good. There's no need to, when you've got a good one, there's no need to move on.
Ray said he's been saying it for a while. That's first.
Not a fan.
The first you heard. That's first I've heard it.
Yeah, I hadn't picked up on that, and I've watched a lot of games, but
I
dig it. But
I kind of like it. He's a big ass dude.
Yeah,
with the Diesel. Yeah, here he comes. And that aggressiveness that he was showing really matched and fit that.
Yeah. I do like it, but I'm telling you, I just think Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal, whenever I hear the Big Diesel or the Diesel.
He's got so many, I think there's going to be so
many. And that's what I was going to follow up with. I know Shaq's got like 15 nicknames, so it feels like he's hoarding a bit.
X-Line rolling in. Boy, they're crushing us.
Big Game.
Come on now. They've been calling him Big Diesel forever now. Where have y'all been?
Well, guess what? I ain't liked it for
I'm usually working, not listening to the play-by-play, friend.
Yeah, I mean, look, how about
I guess I just ain't paid attention.
I don't like it. I don't care if it's been doing it forever or not. I don't like it.
I vote yes for Diesel.
No, thank you. I'm out.
Break the tie, Tyler. I vote yes for Diesel.
Can I have some time?
I'm really torn.
Because I do think it's better than Big Game Hunter Brown. I do think it's better, but I don't know if it's original enough. What if we called him like the Cummins? That's a diesel engine.
Yeah, you should have just voted no.
That was our baseball talk presented by T-Mobile. The Cummins. Our baseball talk voted by
Big Peterbilt.
Again, our baseball
talk. Duramax. Sorry.
Again, that's our baseball talk presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you could get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, coming up, your chance to hear from the head coach. All right, he has watched some film. Maybe we'll hear some updates on injuries with the Texans. As we said, Joe Mixon's out today. Damian Pierce did not practice today. Juice Scruggs didn't practice today. Some new additions they've added to the roster as well. We expect to hear from the head coach, and we'll have that for you only right here on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
D'Amico taking his time there at NRG. We'll get that for you. A little bit later on. Remember, coming up, our Odyssey Sports Radio 610 MLB insider Tony Gwynn Jr. He has been at the last two games between the Padres and the Astros, calling the games for the San Diego Padres. So we'll get his thoughts on the umpiring that has occurred the last two nights and the games from yesterday. The atmospheres had looked pretty good. That's a great ballpark. Obviously, I went there and Tony just didn't come through on those tickets, but I went there.
On the sweet tickets?
Yeah.
12 of them, yeah.
I went through. I think it was 8. But I went there.
It was double digits.
And it's a fun ballpark. Great ballpark. So we'll get his thoughts on that coming up. All right, this has kind of made the rounds. It's been interesting to hear from the people in Chicago how they've taken this. But national people, to me, this feels like national people have mostly come at Caleb Williams as kind of another sign of potentially how he can be. But after the game, you know, the quarterbacks, you know, you guys do, Clint, go in there, shake the other quarterback's hand, and You know, if usually it's quick. Sometimes if guys know each other, it's quick. Sometimes it's disrespectful, like Patrick Mahomes did to Josh Allen last year when he went up to Josh Allen and just started giving his complaints to Josh Allen about the call that was made on Kadarius Toney. Like, Josh Allen gave a damn about hearing that right then and there. I just want to shake your hand and move on. Your ass lost. But in this case, C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams met, and C.J. Stroud had a few words for Caleb, and people have reacted to it. Here is what happened after the game as those two met in the middle.
Good job out there,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah,
hey,
keep going.
Stop taking those hits.
Yeah,
I know, I mean,
right?
Hey,
yeah.
Learn from those mistakes, and everything that you got, bro, is in you already, bro. You're going to be a hell of a player in this league.
Yeah.
All right, boy.
Appreciate it.
For sure.
All right, he pulled him back in. Hey, come here. Come here. Stop taking them hits. Come
God
here.
Bless, brother.
It's in you. Game winner gave him that, And I saw somebody say this, a report, man, this is really cool. C.J. Stroud told Caleb Williams after Sunday's game, stop taking so many hits. And before Williams left, he pulled it back in to give him more advice and encouragement. Good guy that C.J. Stroud is. How you feel about that? I've heard a lot of people go a lot of different ways. How'd you feel about that?
I think it's out of pocket. I would not have received
for
CJ. I would not have received it well.
Wow, dude!
You put yourself in the situation
when I
of
first
Caleb.
When I first heard it. My immediate response is, man, you ain't Tom Brady. I know you've been spending a lot of time around Tom Brady, but you're not Tom Brady yet. You know, those types of moments are really cool when it's an all time great. A guy that has gone out and achieved things that you hope to achieve one day. And I know a lot of people will point to it was a great rookie year by C.J. Stroud. And it was obviously he was rookie of the year. And I'm sure maybe Caleb would like to do that. I don't think it's on his radar. But I just don't think in any way, shape, or form that C.J.'s done enough in this league to all of a sudden to other young quarterbacks start talking about, hey, come here, man. And doing the whole, you're going to be all right, it's in you, like uplifting and encouraging like you do to young players. I understand where the video is somewhat interesting as well. It doesn't seem like Caleb Williams is real interested in it. And yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's a, boy, CJ's a great guy or CJ's a bad guy for it. I just think it's premature and a little early for CJ Stroud to be given that kind of encouragement to peers that are his age.
That certainly seemed the way that Caleb took it.
Yeah, the thing with Caleb is, and I think it's more of an awareness deal with CJ too, is Caleb just went through probably the worst football game he's ever been a part of. I mean,
and you talk about physically demanding, how much he got hit.
He is physically exhausted. And he doesn't, there's no way in way, shape, or form, there's no chance in hell that he looks, quote unquote, looks up to C.J. Stroud as any kind of mentor or any kind of let me follow in your footsteps type of way. If that were Aaron Rodgers, if that were Tom Brady, if that were, you know, when Cam Newton was playing, he's got that kind of presence. You know, an older player that you looked up to and that can grab your attention no matter what you just went through, cool. But a guy that's your age that's got 1 year of track record in the NFL, like I just think it's a little bit premature for CJ to feel the need to go out and hand out a bunch of motivation and inspiration and immediately following the game. Yeah, I'm not a fan. My immediate thought was, come on, man, you ain't Tom Brady, bro.
That was your immediate
Immediately. That was my immediate thought. Yes, sir.
Text line coming in. CJ was motivating him. How was he out of pocket? Apparently, they have been friends since junior high, which may lead to a different take. I don't know. To me, it's just an awareness of situation. Like, listen, I think CJ meant well by that.
Oh yeah, no, I think his intentions were good. Yeah, I don't think he's a bad guy before because of what he did. I just think it's out of pocket. It's premature. Yeah,
just like, hey, you saw, like, you could, for me, I could see the look in Caleb's face. He looked like he wanted to get the hell up out of
it. Yeah.
Like, it looked like he was ready to get his ass and, like, what I really want to do is take my helmet and walk my ass up this tunnel right now. But I know what I have to do, and I got to go and shake hands. And, hey, stop taking no money. It's the pull back in. Hey, come back. Come here to me, man. Get in here so I can. That's where the element of where you're talking about Brady and you know, Aaron Rodgers or somebody talking to you comes.
Well, I mean, because here's the problem with it is, one, you think I want to take those hits? Do you think I wanted to go out there and just get the hell beat out of me? Caleb, clearly, there's an extremely frustrating aspect of what I just went through.
Caleb probably said you could stand atop taking some yourself.
I don't need somebody to tell me to stop taking hits. I totally understand that. And then the other little bit of a pep talk, you're in a very indirect way, you are insinuating that I'm doubting myself, that I have doubt in myself, that I don't believe it's in there, and whatever CJ Stroud, like, I don't need you to tell me, I don't need one of my peers that are my age to tell me that I need to have confidence in myself and keep working and everything's going to be okay. Like, I don't need that. Not from a guy that hasn't done any more than me, right? So I don't know. I think it's a little premature for CJ to be handing out that kind of advice.
Someone text in as well. Yeah, CJ meant well, but he's not Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. And I think that's the sentiment that you're kind of bringing to the table.
Yeah, but anybody. I mean, it can be anybody that's got some pelts on the wall. I mean, anybody that's like, if Lamar Jackson came in there and said, hey, you know, had some words of encouragement. I mean, he's got two MVPs.
Like
maybe
Lamar did the times that. Like, yeah, last year in the playoffs where CJ was getting roughed up, maybe Lamar came up to him and said,
hey man, keep your head up. Let's keep it moving. Now, that to me,
that's
just ain't there yet.
That's even different from what CJ did. Like, hey man, keep your head up.
I know. That's what I would have expected after that game was, hey man, keep your head up, man. I know it ain't easy. Keep your head up, bro. Holler if you need anything.
Hey, come here.
It's just a little premature for me. That's all.
Tony Gwynn Jr., our baseball insider, stops by. He has watched this series closely as he has been there in San Diego calling the games for the Padres. We'll get his thoughts on the Astros and the postseason coming up next.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. As we are live, The Drive is live, and we are happy to hear from our guy. It's been a minute, man. We've missed our conversations with Tone. Tony Gwynn Jr., our Odyssey Sports Radio 610 MLB insider, who has had a front row seat for the past two games as the Astros and Padres played really a crazy game yesterday for a lot of reasons. And And I really enjoyed the atmosphere at Petco Park, so it was a good time there. But Tone, man, it's glad to hear from you. It's been a while.
It's been a minute, fellas. How are you guys?
Good. You know, we're good. Not a lot's happened since you left. I lost a bet. I had to dye my hair blonde, and so it's.
I saw that.
Tone, man, you.
I knew it had to be a bet.
Yeah, you laughing just a little too hard on that, but not a lot's happened. It's been a good time, but we're getting close to the postseason, and it looks like both you will be experiencing that this year, and the Astros are well on their way to doing that as well. Yesterday was a crazy game. I do want to get this out the way before we move forward. The umpiring took center stage in particular with yesterday's game. I don't know how great it was in game one either, but. In your opinion, was it equally bad? Because you watched it from a different prism, at least, you know, either from a Padres prism or more objective prism than maybe Astros fans did. Did you think anybody got screwed more, or did you think it evened out?
It definitely evened out. It's really been like that the first two games of the season, of the series. I mean, both. You know, anytime we're having this conversation after the last couple of games, which were really high-level baseball, it's a bad thing, you know. So, you know, you just hope that this rotation tomorrow or today will be a little bit better than it was yesterday, because both sides certainly had moments where you could see somebody getting ejected. Eventually, it ended up being Altuve, but that could have been either side, honestly.
Well, Tone, on the Astros side of things, you got a chance to see up close and personal Spencer Arrighetti and Hunter Brown, two of the young arms in this, and I think you've obviously seen Verlander plenty in your time covering the game and playing the game. I think the conversation here, obviously, since Verlander came back, has been how rough it's been for him. Now, the last outing wasn't as rough. I mean, he went five innings, I think, but anyway. He didn't come back as strong as I think most people expected him to be. And he's on borrowed time because the playoffs are right around the corner. One, when you see those two young pitchers pitch, just how impressive are they? And then two, as you get down to the playoffs, if he's not who you call Ver, if he's not back to that dominant guy, what would you do in a playoff, in a wild card scenario or a playoff scenario where there's only so many starters can be used?
Yeah, well, I'll start with the easy question first. The two guys, the two young guys, Arrighetti and Brown, are phenomenal. I mean, it's part of the reason why, you know, when we were having these conversations early in the year, I didn't know Arrighetti's name at the time, but I knew there was some young dude down there that was going to be worthy of coming up and throwing the ball well. And he's been that guy. I think Brown is coming to his own this season. He had that rough outing against Oakland to start before this, which kind of had my antennas up, because the previous six, he was dominant. And so, you know, a guy has a one-off start like that. Usually he comes back and he pitches well. And that's exactly what he did. I bet you he would have liked that walk now. As it turned out, because Manny ended up doing what Manny does. But those two guys are phenomenal. I mean, if the Astros are kind of setting their sights on those two, and I think they got a lot to be excited about. Now, in terms of Verlander, you know, I just think he's going to need some time to get right. You're right, he doesn't have as much time. But how comfortable are you, you know, in a, you know, wild card series, winner take all, basically, of not using a guy like Verlander? I think that will really depend on what he shows down the stretch here. He's going to have at least one more start before things get active here. But it's hard for me to imagine a scenario in which he's not involved.
That's interesting. And I'm going to go right to it with this, Tony. You may not know Joe Espada as much. Maybe this would be different if Dusty was managing. I think you got more of a feel with Dusty. But Your thoughts on that, as you presented that scenario, right now they would face the Minnesota Twins and host them in a three-game set. I think we feel Framber Valdez and what he's done in the second half clearly is going to be a starter in a three-game series. Hunter Brown, as you just talked about, has been this way really since June. But then we talked about Arrighetti, but Kikuchi has been.
Who? Ooh, yeah.
You say Kikuchi has been absolutely phenomenal since he's been traded over here. Ronel Blanco has been arguably the most consistent throughout. Yep. Would Verlander be the third guy for you? Like, if you know manage and know how guys are and how comfortable they are and how the postseason is different, if Hunter Brown and Framber have two of the starts, do you think Verlander gets the third, or you think it goes to one of the others?
Oh, man. I could see a scenario where it goes with one of the other guys. You know, Joe has – he's different than – you're right. He's 100%. He's a lot – he's handled these situations differently than maybe Dusty would have. I mean, they have had to make some tough decisions more than a couple times this year already. And he's, you know, been there, been ready to pull the trigger on it. So I could definitely see, especially if Arrighetti continues to throw the ball the way he has. You mentioned Blanco. I mean, they got options. These are, by the way, these are great problems to have, that you have too much pitching. And listen, I you know, Ver probably wouldn't be he probably wouldn't be against coming out of the bullpen if he had to find a way to help the team. So I think all of that is really wide open, more so than it probably was in the past with Dusty there. There's definitely a scenario in which Verlander is not the third on that piece. If it were left up to me, I'd have a hard time doing it, though.
Well, we talk about decisions, and Joe Espada's got some major decisions that he's going to have to make. And he, I mean, I think some people, hell, I look at it as a plus, but I'm curious to know what you think. And because you look at, like, the catcher position has been a rotation between Diaz and Caratini in an effort to get the best bats in the lineup, right? The first base position has been, you know, three, four, five different guys have played first base this year. The outfield, Tucker's back, but left field, and you can tie the DH to that with Yordan Alvarez. That's been a turnstile this year with just so many different guys playing. Center field, Jake Myers is your best, you know, statistically, I guess, your best defensive center fielder, but he leaves a lot to be desired at the plate, and Dubon sitting there. So when you look at this team and you go, okay, what direction are they going to go? Usually it's just, you know, a couple spots and maybe one of the starting rotators, starters in the rotation. Man,
yeah.
Joe's got about five really tough decisions to make of do you take the defense or do you take the better bat? You know, there's some decisions to be made, man.
There's no doubt. He probably is going to have more decisions to make than probably any of the other managers that are going to be in the dance. But I think it'll depend on matchups, right? What if the matchups hold as they are today, what does the Twins roster look like? Are they a fly ball team, which they are? They hit a gang of fly ball. So, you know, if that's going to be the case, do you want to have your best outfield defense out there? If they got a lot of righties or a lot of lefties, that's going to all factor in how they put that roster together, you know, outside of the dudes who aren't going anywhere, you know. So, you know, quite frankly, a lot of these guys are auditioning right now for those spots. Who's going to be hot going in to that first series? And what does their roster look like and how can we match it up? Again, I think these are good problems to have because you have so many options that you can choose from. The question is, can you push the right buttons and pick the right pieces that match up well with the team you're facing?
Tone, I'm interested in one specific, the first base position. You know, the art of, obviously you want to have a bat over there, but the art of scooping the ball is, I mean, it's what the first base position is all about. How comfortable are you with the Astros having a guy like Diaz over there? Is that a concern for you, or is that something you just deal with?
I mean, listen, given what I saw last night, how comfortable are you with Diaz behind the dish? You know, in terms of the defense, I mean, a couple of them balls, yeah, you know, got to be blocked and kept in front. And when runs are at a premium, maybe it's something you think. His bat is certainly special. I mean, there aren't too many rookies that are going to come up and be able to be as consistent as Diaz has been. And so the question is it a more of a minus to have him behind the plate, or is it more of a minus to put him at first base? I certainly didn't see anything at first base that would give me hesitation of him playing. Now, granted, I only saw the one game, but it didn't stand out to me that, oh man, he might be a problem there. So, you know, I, given I haven't seen a ton of him at first, you know, I could be dead wrong, but he didn't seem to be uncomfortable playing over there. And if you're trying to find bats and a defense mix, you know, Caratini behind the dish may be the better option defensively if you keep Diaz at first base.
Yeah, Tony, what you guys are just talking about is, you said, you know, pushing the right buttons and pushing the right buttons and how he handles the catcher in first base position will be a thing. I just think, Tony and Clint, we've watched it all year. I think Joe loves this. I think Joe loves to play and make a lot of decisions and have different guys come in and out. I think he is into that. I think he enjoys, you know, hey, I don't really have a set lineup. You don't know who could be playing first, who could be playing left. I think he is a manager that loves to use his bench. So, I think it is going to be a lot on what decisions he makes.
You know what's interesting is it seems like, and this is anecdotal, but it seems like a lot of first-year managers are into using all of the tools that they have at their disposal. And as they get more seasoned, you start to see that change, sometimes ever so slightly, sometimes bigger. And, you know, continuity in some cases can go a long way. We see it with the Padres, you know, for the last couple of years, we've had that kind of revolving door, different lineups. This year, you know, we got basically a left-handed lineup and a right-handed lineup. And there's only about one or two pieces that change from time to time. Whatever Joe has done has obviously worked, because they've pulled themselves from the depths when everybody was pushing the panic button, and now they seem to control their own destiny moving forward. So, you know, it's hard to argue with the results to this point, but, you know, especially in this organization, you're not measured necessarily in what you do in the regular season. You measure what you do in the postseason. So we'll see if those buttons can continue to be pushed right.
All right, Tony, appreciate you. Enjoy the game tonight. And you're right, man. These have been some high-level, great atmospheres, felt like playoff-level ball games the first two games in the series. We'll be watching, and I know you'll be having a good call.
Hey, Tony, I don't know what game you call tonight, but I hope y'all lose, man.
Wow.
I'm sure you do. Good to talk to y'all boys.
All right, that's our Odyssey Sports Radio 610 Insider, MLB Insider, Tony Gwynn Jr., who it's good to hear from Tone again. It's been a while since we heard from him. All right, coming up, we'll give you the latest on the Texans news, their injury front. They've had to play one of their offensive players and weapons on the IR. We'll fill you in on that, as well as a couple of guys who missed practice that we want to keep a real note on. We'll discuss all of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.